Welcome to the Script Lab Podcast. I'm your fellow screenwriter and host, Shani Edwards. For this episode, I was lucky enough to sit down with the 7-time Oscar-nominated writer-director, Mike Lee. We talked about his latest film, Peterloo, about a real-life massacre that took place in Manchester, England in 1819. You may know some of Lee's other films like Secrets and Lies, Vera Drake, and Happy Go Lucky. As a writer, Lee's known for relying heavily on improv with his actors before writing the script. I caught up with Lee at a suite in the Beverly Hills Four Seasons.
So I love this movie.
Great, good.
As an American, I had no idea about this incident, this Peterloo massacre that happened in 1819. Yeah. So we're coming on 200 years.
Yeah.
But I read that you grew up near the area where it happened.
Yeah, I did. And we knew nothing about it. Don't ask me why. It's very, very, it's a great enigma. It was hardly mentioned at all. But it was a major event, and it did resonate right through the 19th century, and it's regarded by many people as an important milestone, a landmark. But we didn't know about it.
Do you think that's because people wanted to sort of sweep it under the rug?
It's difficult, actually, because I knew socialist people that would have, but they just didn't mention it. So I don't know the answer.
Okay.
And I think it's probably too straightforward merely to ascribe it to it having been swept under the rug.
Well, what I can tell you is watching this movie, even as an American, it feels very contemporary.
I mean, it's I happen to have grown up there, and it happens to be a British event, but I think its resonance is universal, no question about it. As indeed, and it sits with Tiananmen Square and Sharpeville and a whole bunch of events, which are its siblings.
Yeah, for me, it just felt like this theme of disenfranchisement. People not being heard, people not getting the vote, not getting, you know, their message across. It's still very contemporary, you know, in 2019, and that's unfortunate.
It's remarkable when you consider that the times during the last 100 years when we thought we finally cracked it and things were going to be okay. I remember when the Americans pulled out of Vietnam, finally. Mm-hmm. At which point I was in my late 20s, and we all had long hair, and we all said, great, now the world is going to grow up, and that's the end of that. You know, and we couldn't have been more wrong.
Well, I thought America had grown up when we voted in Barack Obama, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
Absolutely. That's the case.
That's the case.
And, you know, Peterloo is about, obviously, primarily about democracy. And democracy is a great thing till it goes wrong. It certainly went wrong here, it certainly went wrong in Germany in 1933, mm-hmm. and it certainly has gone wrong in the UK.
Does this have a commentary about Brexit, or is it just something totally separate?
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is that we decided to make the film and started planning it and researching it at the beginning of 2014, and you couldn't possibly have anticipated Brexit
right.
at that time. So the film stands irrespective of Brexit. However, given that Brexit has happened and is happening and is unravelling upon a daily, ever-worsening basis, it is relevant. But it's not a conscious comment on Brexit because it predates Brexit. And, you know, it is, as I say, it's subject matter is universal.
By the way, the first film I saw of yours was Secrets and Lies, and it just blew me away. Like, it really changed how I understood not only filmmaking, but also sort of the human experience. It was just such a powerful film. I've seen it several times, and it always gets me. But from what I understand, you're still the man without a script?
Absolutely.
Okay. My listeners are all screenwriters, so they're going to be fascinated to hear.
Well, let's get this very clear.
Okay,
there's a great myth about this.
Okay.
The myth is that there is no screenplay ever. And, of course, that is absolutely not the case.
Of course.
When you talk about Secrets and Lies, mm-hmm. I mean, Secrets and Lies, which had a nomination for its screenplay, has, I hope, a pretty decent kind of screenplay. It's how we arrive at the screenplay, not whether there is one. There isn't one to start with, in the usual way. I don't sit in a room and write a screenplay. I work with the actors, we do a great deal of work, a great deal of development work, a great deal of character work, a great deal of research. I have them do massive amounts of improvisation and all the rest of it. And then we get on the location and we build the scenes through rehearsal, scene by scene, sequence by sequence, in the location, and arrive at something that is very tightly scripted. And that is the script. So it's the order and the processes by which we arrive at a decent script, hopefully, not whether there actually is one, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And the same thing applies, though on a rather elaborate, in a rather elaborate way, to Peterloo. There are 160 actors as opposed to a dozen. And obviously, the work that I did with all of them varied in its quantity, but in principle, everybody prepared so that we could get on the location and explore and arrive at the action, you see.
Wow. Now, what if you have an actor that's not delivering?
Well, I mean, I've made 21 full-length films and
yes.
a lot of plays, and I think it's probably about four times that's ever happened.
Oh, really?
Because the trick is to get the right actors.
Yes. It's always the trick.
It's always the trick. I mean, anyone can line up a load of gorgeous but stupid actors, and that's not what I do. I mean, they're neither gorgeous nor stupid, that's the point. I work with not only intelligent actors, actors that were good actors, but they're all character actors, and I don't mean that's not in Hollywood. Character actors means old actors that play small parts. I mean actors who don't play themselves, who are motivated to play real people, like people out there in the street, and are not motivated in their acting by vanity or narcissism or their ego, but are keen to really do proper characters. And all of the actors I work with come under that category, all of them in Peterloo, they were all really into it and, on the case and researching and, really taking it seriously and joyously, and the results are what you see.
Sure. So maybe if you can explain the process a little bit, before you get with the actors and before you start improvising, do you have an outline or do you have just sort of nothing?
Well, I mean, I've made two kinds of films.
Okay.
All of my films except Topsy Turvy, Mr. Turner, and Peterloo, all of which are, of course, broadly speaking, dramatic constructions of historical events.
Mm-hmm.
But all the rest of the films have come into existence by a long process of discovering what the film is by the process of making it.
Sure.
So I don't start before I work with the actors with the structure. I may have certain premises or notions on the go. I mean, you've mentioned Secrets and Lies.
Yeah.
And now Secrets and Lies was a very open brief for myself, they always are, but I knew that I wanted to make a film about adoption, because people close to me had adopted kids. And I decided to investigate. As soon as I decided to research, as soon as I began to research it, I realised that, in fact, it wasn't so important to make a film about people who adopt kids, but the kids who are given away and the mothers who give them away, and that's what the film's about. But having said that, I mean, I had certain possibilities in the casting, which are clear, but it was very, very open, and the actual structure of the film is something that I arrive at right at the end of what is wrongly called the rehearsal period, which is usually about 6 months, but before we start shooting, and even that is a very, very broad and loose thing, because we then get on the location and invent the film. So that, for example, if you're talking about Secrets and Lies, the whole last sequence where they all come round to the house and the truth comes out. We'd shot three quarters of the film before we knew that, how that would play out. Mm. But we then got on the location with nobody else there, no crew or anything. We spent 10 days just improvising and investigating. And it was all the actors in those films, apart from my historical ones, one of the key things that makes it work is that the actors never know anything about the other characters except what their character would know. So it's kind of real.
Wow. Now, I also read that for Peterloo, some of the speeches were from real speeches happened.
Well, if you're going to tell that story, you have to go back to the sources. But then I've done that before. I mean, there are bits in Mr. Turner and indeed Topsy Turf. Turner is a scene in Topsy Turf where Gilbert and Sullivan are talking to each other on a sofa. And Sullivan said, I don't write any more grand, I want to write grand operas now. And Gilbert is reading his new libretto to him. Well, everything they say to each other, apart from a few odd words, came from letters in their correspondence. We just built it into a scene. So if you're making a historical thing, then of course the sources are there to use, but you have to assimilate them into the acting. It has to work for the characterization, and also you have to edit things and distill them. But of course, one of the things about Peterloo, it is about political meetings and people expressing ideas, and these guys said what they said, and it was recorded and written down, and we used the material.
Yes, I love that one of your characters, the famous orator, I'm looking for his name.
Henry Hunt.
Yes, he seemed like such a modern politician. He seemed so slick and so, like, he was kind of, he had the right heart, and he was saying the right things, but he knew.
We researched this guy thoroughly. Great actor, Rory Kinnear plays him.
Yes.
What you see is what we understand he was like. He was a brilliant orator. He was committed to the cause. He was a wealthy landowner. He was apparently had an incredible voice. He heard at a great distance. But he was a massive egocentric, a narcissist. And it's not someone I don't think I'd like to spend too much time with, really. But that's how he was.
That's how most politicians are.
Well, that may also be true.
So you mentioned putting this together or getting the idea for this in 2014. So what about why now? Why this story now?
Well, you know, here's the thing. It just seemed to me that somehow it would be important to know them, and it turns out it is. So the why, that answers the why, really. Also, I mean, when I first started to find out about the Peterloo Massacre properly, which is quite a while back, and I don't really remember when, in the 70s or the 80s, I read a book, and I remember thinking, you know what, somebody ought to make a film about this. At that time, it would not have occurred to me that somebody might be me, because I was committed, as I still am, to making films about contemporary life. I didn't think I would ever make a historical film. I've now made four. The other reason I thought it would be a good idea to make it is precisely because it is the bicentenary, and I thought, well, let's shine the light on it.
Sure. So you were the chairman of the London Film School.
I was until recently.
Did you actually teach classes?
I have done in the past. Whilst I was the chairman, I did that very little because I just felt those were two separate functions. But I've taught, yes, definitely.
So, do you teach directors, screenwriters, actors? Who do you teach? Or did you teach?
Directors.
Directors, okay. Do you advocate developing a script the way that you develop it?
No.
No, you don't.
No. What I do is entirely idiosyncratic, and I refuse to proselytize about it and suggest that other people do. There have been people who have, in some way, been inspired, or whatever you call it. I don't know how to go, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But no. I'm only concerned as a, whenever I have taught film students, to find their own way, and there are more basic, broad things that are there to be shared.
What do you, if you had advice for up-and-coming film directors and writers? I know that you don't want to work in the Hollywood system. You're here today in Hollywood. But so many people are struggling to kind of come up through that system. What advice do you have for
them? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't.
I really don't. I mean, you know, it's tough even without being inside the Hollywood system. It's tough for young filmmakers. The disease of the Hollywood system spreads further than Hollywood. You know, I mean, and even in the UK, you have the new breeds of executives who have to interfere with everything. And you see, my privilege and good fortune is that I've made 21 full-length films and nobody has interfered with any of them at any stage. Not in the film, the content, the form, the casting, the cut, anything. And incidentally, I have to say that Amazon Studios have backed Peterloo were immaculate and impeccable in their behaviour. They never interfered at all. They never, for a split second, sought to influence the film. They got the idea was to give us the time and space to do it and support us, and they did. So that's just in passing. I mean, that's important. You know, there's world cinema. And that's what I feel myself part of, as opposed to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's about independent movies that are made like novelists write novels and painters make pictures and sculptors make sculpture and musicians do what they do and poets write poems. Which is to say, there isn't a committee and there isn't a, you know, there aren't rules and regulations. You just explore and do it, and that's what I think it's all about. And that's how people should make films, and that's how many people make films on low budgets around the world. And that's not the Hollywood way of making films, and I have nothing to say about that, except that if you're asking me how to negotiate the system, I don't know the answer.
When you were making Peterloo, were there challenges? Was there anything specific that was very difficult?
Well, I mean, you've seen the movie, mm-hmm. And you've seen the back end, the sequence at the back end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that took a lot of time, planning. Look, the great thing is, in the end, notwithstanding that I've just said filmmakers should make films the way novelists write novels, the great thing about novelists is they sit by themselves and it's a solo job. Filmmaking is not a solo job.
Right.
It's teamwork. If you've got the right team, and I always have the right team, I've got some brilliant people that I always work with, you know, you can do it. And of course, the great massacre sequence of Peterloo, it took a massive amount of planning and organisation and inventiveness and goodwill, really. And but it was a challenge. We shot it in 5 weeks, that sequence? But that's including preparing it and doing the rest of it.
Well, yeah, because I would imagine with you have horses involved, and it must have been very,
of
very...
Of course, it goes without saying that the horses are film horses. They're not any old horse. They're trained horses, and indeed there are a lot of trained stunt people and a very brilliant stunt director who does movies all the time. Not my kind of movie, but movies. But, we all worked, you know, it's made it all work. And of course, I was able to prepare all the separate elements with the actors first, so that we could put them into the whole thing. You know. But challenge, yes, it was a challenge. But then, you know what? All films are a challenge.
One of my favorite scenes is, I'm not sure exactly how you refer to these, sort of the upper crust people who were up above and watching. And
well, they're the magistrates.
Magistrates, yes. And they were like, please, have some wine. Mm. It was like it was entertainment for them.
Yes, I don't know. I think that may be how it seemed at that moment. Because we'd already established something as being pretty beast. I mean, people would give out, and they did give out, draconian punishments for those minor crimes. Interesting you should say that.
Sure. So working on this film, did it change you in any way, or did it affect you emotionally?
Well, that's a difficult question. I think all films that you work on change you in some way. And you know, you constantly learn, even by attending screenings now. We made the film nearly 2 years ago. You know, you learn. But it's hard to quantify what that is, apart from anything else. with every 12 months you get a year older.
It happens to me too.
Yeah, I know, not except. It's hard to quantify that, but, you know.
Is there something that you haven't done in your career that you're still hoping that you get to
do? Yes, it's very difficult, again, it's a very good question, but it's a question with no, you know, I can't say it's this, and a whole bunch of things. But somehow, you know, and I'm not the first film director to say this, you always think that actually the next film is going to be the one that really cracks it, that really is good, finally make a good film. You think, well, I'm doing something I've never done before. Well, don't ask me what that is. It's just a general creative sense you have that somehow you can do better, really.
Mm.
Which I suppose is a version of not resting on your laurels or getting smug. I don't know. It's hard to answer your question.
I understand. Through, I think, all your films, you've dealt with sort of the working class. Is there a specific reason that comes from you?
No. I grew up in a world. I went to working class schools. I went to a working class area. My father was, we were middle class. My dad was a doctor. I always lived in urban areas. I am always motivated to make films about the real world, you know, as opposed to the exotic world. Although I've tried to apply that principle to slightly more exotic subjects like topsy turvy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's just looking at people doing a job of work. And, and actually, if you look at my films, as you have, you know, they're not, no way they're just about working class people. I mean, there's always a tension between the classes and so on.
Sure. Was there a scene in Peterloo that you shot and developed and you thought, this was so fun, this was so exciting?
Well, I think that's certainly true. I think it's true of a lot of the scenes. I tell you what is interesting, I think, is that the scene we shot first on day one was the scene at the end between the Prince Regent and the politicians with the Prince Regent's mistress, Lady Connie. And we shot that on day one. It was supposed to take 2 days to shoot, but it went so well that we knocked it out in one day, which was extraordinary. And I just remember knowing that I had 16 weeks ahead of me, and somewhere down the line was the Peterloo Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, you know what? I can do this. This is what I do. But I've got things to come that are more dangerous and I feel less secure about. So, you know, I felt very wobbly about it, really, because... it all kicked off, it started so absolutely wonderfully well, and you thought, now be careful, because don't be deluded by that.
That's great. Any advice to somebody who's going to write and direct a massacre scene? Is there something you learned that you could share?
No. My advice to anybody that's going to do anything, to young filmmakers,
yes,
is, and we've already implicitly talked about this,
yes,
never compromise. Only do what you really feel it's about, what you want to do.
What's your next project?
I'll tell you.
You don't know?
Well, the thing is, we're waiting to get some money, and when we do, I'll know how much money I've got, and then I can decide which way to go.
Okay. Will you be working with Amazon again, or no?
That's a question with no answer.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much for
speaking with me
today. Okay. It's been an absolute pleasure. I feel very honored to get to meet you.
Thank you.